Blog Talk Radio.
Always Ascending inspires listeners to live life consciously and intentionally by reaching, growing, learning, climbing, becoming, and achieving all that they are capable of. Always Ascending inspires us all to see our life's experiences, the joys and the challenges, as part of our ascension to becoming better human beings. Always Ascending is about purifying and celebrating our life's journeys and our life's experiences. Welcome to Always Ascending.
Greetings, everyone. This is Akanke Tiamoya Abdulkhalik, and I'm so happy to be with you this beautiful morning. I'm calling in from Saudi Arabia. It's 5:30 a.m. in the morning, and it's a blessed day to have breath and life and the opportunity to make a difference. I am excited about the show today. Today we're going to continue our conversation about the characteristics of self-actualizing people and look at the fourth characteristic, which deals with helping solve problems outside of yourself. And I'll read what that characteristic says. Characteristic number four, the self-actualizing person is someone who is generally strongly focused on problems outside of him or herself. He or she is concerned with the problems of others and the problems of society and is willing to work to alleviate those difficulties. So today we will talk about problem solving, and there's so many ways that we can contribute to our family life, our community life, to the world, and try to make a difference outside of our own immediate sphere. Naturally, a self-actualizing person is one who is concerned about their own well-being, their own stability, and strives to always grow and become better and better every day. This show, Always Ascending, is about just that, about striving in life to become all that we can become. And it gets to a point when you realize that it's not just about you. It's not just about you becoming, but you also want to help other people become. You want to make a difference in the lives of other people, whether it's you're in your own family, your immediate family, whether it's your neighbor, whether it's someone in your community organization, a church, a mosque, or a nonprofit organization, a boys' club, a girls' club, or at work, or just to a stranger passing by. There are always numerous opportunities every day for us to help someone else. And the self-actualizing person realizes this is an important aspect of who they are without really, it becomes second nature because of their intention in life. Today, I have a very special guest who will join me, who is joining me, to talk about her journey of self-actualization, to talk about her life, her growth and development, and to talk about ways in which she has strived and is striving to make a difference in her family life and in the community. She is someone that I actually have known for a long time. We are actually sisters. She's my blood sister. And her name is Candace Tiamoya Neil Bynum. And she is joining us to tell us a little bit about her story. And I want to welcome Candace to the show now. Candace, are you there?
Yes, thank you. Okay. How are you?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm great. I can't complain. Things are looking up.
Good. Good, good, good. Now, it's 10:30 p.m. where you are.
Yes, in Atlanta. And
I know, and yes, and I know you'd like to go to bed at a reasonable time. You have to get up and go to work in the morning. So
yes.
I appreciate very much you staying up to have this conversation with me and with the listening audience about your journey in life. And I called you a little earlier and I said, Candace, drink some coffee. You said you don't drink coffee. And neither do I. So it's 10:30 p.m. on your end and it's 5:30 a.m. on my end. So we're going on raw energy, y'all, to have this conversation about life and self-actualization. Candace, I want to start out by talking about your journey of self-actualization. You're my sister, so I've seen you grow over time, and you've seen me grow over time, and that's the beauty of life, that we, especially in a family situation, we see each other grow and become, we see each other blossom, we see each other go through ebbs and flows, ups and downs, the peaks and the valleys. And family life is one that is there to support the well-being of each member of the family. And as you know, in our family, we have had, you know, to be there for each other in different ways. We have other brothers and sisters, our oldest sister, Teresa, our oldest brother, Timothy. We also have a sister, Lynn, and we have a younger sister, Treasure. Why do I want to say precious?
I don't know.
Treasure, because she's precious. And the reason I struggle with that name is because, like many families, we have a blended family. And with Treasure, she's my father's daughter that we met within the past 5 years. So, and I haven't spent a lot of time with her, but hopefully on my next visit, I'll be able to do that. But as a family, we've had, you know, to support each other, and we've seen our family go through its ups and downs. Let's talk about your journey, our upbringing and your journey and where you are today. Candace, tell us a little bit about your journey of self-actualization, how you've grown, what some of your milestones in life have been, including, you know, starting with when you finished high school. You're in your mid-30s now. And so you for a long time, have been single parenting your boys. So let's talk even about that. Talk about some of your milestones and some of the things that have been challenging for you, that have helped you grow, and you know, the things that have made you stronger.
Okay. Well, let me first start off by saying I did start off being a parent at a very young age of 16. And, you know, at that age, I was forced to be a woman. I was forced to be a parent to take care of a child. And 3 years later, I had another son. So at a very early age, I was forced to be an adult. I was forced to make decisions to better my family and make good decisions to support my boys and be a good mother. I've always had a lot of family support, mostly from my mom. So when my mom passed, 10 years ago, I definitely had to step up to the plate because I've always had her to have my back. She's always been there to, you know, push me further. And if I didn't have it, she had it. But she was always my backbone. So when Mom passed 10 years ago, I definitely was made to step up to the plate. I had to be the head of the household, per se.
Yeah.
So I think from Mom passing in the past 10 years, I have had a lot of struggles, and just from dealing with that in itself, but me having children, me having to raise these boys, I had to not really dwell in that because they were still young when she passed. And I had to really focus on, you know, now I have to be the head of the household. I have to take care of these kids. I have to, you know, be about business with everything that I do and be about family. So within you know, the past 10 years, I've seen myself grow. I've taken on a lot of her characteristics, and, you know, a lot of people say I'm just like her now. I do things like her, and, you know, I'm always helping everybody out. I'm just that go-to person when anybody's having problems or, you know, anybody want to be around somebody, it would be me. You know, I'm just that person in the family now, and which is it's a good thing. It's a good thing sometimes. It's sometimes good that everybody wants to come to you, but sometimes, you know, you need somebody to go to also. So, and
I want to just say, Candace, that I see you when you talk about mom and how you've sort of taken on some of her ways. We always joke about how your directness, it comes from mom, and so when you talk about the fact that sometimes you just need somebody to talk to, sometimes you just need someone to support you when everyone is coming to you, I know that you have the ability to say, "Hold up now," you know, that now it's my turn, or you know how to unplug from those situations and do what you need to have your own respite. And people understand that. And I know you do it in a fashion that's totally unique to who you are, Candace.
Right.
And people get that.
Yeah. Totally.
So you were saying, yes. So you were saying that when mom died, that it forced you to step up. And that's so true. It's you know, I've always said that death is one of the greatest teachers in life for those who are still living. When you lose, especially when you lose someone very close to you, like a parent, it just, you just realize how much you loved them and how connected you were, how connected your life and your pursuits, even unconsciously, you were doing things unconsciously to please your parent or to, you know, to make sure that they were proud of you. And then when you lose a parent, it just sort of makes you realize how important they were to you and how now you have to step up and be your own person fully, which is what your parents want you to do anyway. Even though we seem to have, as children, we feel this connection to our parents, which is very natural, our parents are urging us and encouraging us to grow up and do and take responsibility and be who we should be. And so it's a dynamic journey in life, the parent-child dynamic, which never is severed until really someone passes away, and then you are forced to realize your life moving forward without that person. So So what were you going through as it relates to being a parent after mom died? Because mom helped you a lot with the boys. You were, you know, staying there when she passed. What were some of the things that you were forced to realize in terms of what you had to do that affected you when she died?
Well, one thing is, Mom was very active in my oldest son's extracurricular activities. She always forced that. She always, you know, he needs to do this and he needs to do that. And so I totally let her handle all of that. I, you know, okay, you look up the stuff if you want to, let me know. And, you know, we can do it as a family. But she always, you know, spearheaded that, and she was always the one to go out and get the information and, you know, to get the kids in different activities, gym, swimming, football, you name it. They were karate, soccer. They were, you know, Dominique did just about everything that there is out there for sports. And she was that person. So when she passed, I knew I had to keep that going. I knew that I couldn't just let that, you know, lapse. I knew I had to continue on with them being in their sports, you know, doing good in school. I had to be the one to really focus on that. I had to really be that person because they no longer had her to, you know, to do those things. So I definitely had to step up and say, okay, here we go. Let me find this. Let me do this. Now we're going to start this sport and, you know, we're going to go here. So that was just one of the things that I knew I had to keep going because that's something that she started and that's something that she, you know, was very heavy on.
And it's something that the boys enjoyed as well. They enjoyed being involved in all those activities, and it's helped them actually to be well-rounded young men. I can I can bear witness to that, that it helped their esteem.
I mean,
you know, to be able to
Right, because them at a young age, they were very excited. There was nothing that I could ever remember them saying, no, I don't want to do that. I don't, you know, that's not going to be fun. Dominique, my oldest son, he was always excited about doing anything. And like I said, he went from doing gymnastics, he was in karate, he was in football, he did swimming, and he was excited about every single thing that his grandmother signed him up for. So, and again, even now, I think that helps. I think extracurricular activities help with a lot of kids as far as their learning is concerned. And she always told me that. So I knew that that was something that I had to continue on to do. And I knew, you know, once she passed that I was who they had. I was who they had only in the household now. You know, they didn't have grandma to spend time with if mom, you know, had to go to work or, you know, to keep on the weekends. It was just me. You know, we had to spend that time.
Finish your sentence, and then I have something I want to say. So it was just you, and you had to fill that time up with the same things that she had been doing is basically what you were saying, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, we have to talk about the obvious thing, and that is the relationship with your father. You all were not married, and what was his role in their life? How did their relationship with your father impact their life and impact your life? How did that impact who you had to be and to your boys?
Their father was not as active as I would have preferred him to be, but he was in their lives. He did see them once mom passed. He tried to be here for me to you know, keep the kids more and do different things. But, you know, shortly after that kind of went away. And like I said, he just wasn't as active as he should have been. And he was well aware of that. So that was like
Go ahead, Candace. Go ahead.
So that was like a double whammy on me because I didn't have his full support when it came to helping out with them and, you know, keeping them while I was at work or just spending time with them. You know, it doesn't even have to be a reason just to spend that quality time with them, especially after they've lost their grandmother, somebody that they live with, you know, every day and saw every day and did activities with. I really felt like he should have stepped up more to the plate to assist me with them, but he didn't. And you know, things happen. It's you know, it's nothing new. But and people make mistakes, and they try to make up for it. But that even more forced me to really, you know, be the mom. I had to be the mom, and I had to be the dad. I had to be the grandmother. You know, I had to be everybody for the boys and make sure that they just stayed focused. Because I know losing a close relative, you know, for some people, it happens for some people it don't, but that could be cause some type of fallback for kids. They could, you know, they sometimes withdraw and may start doing bad in school, you know, things of that nature. So I really had to push them and keep them active so that they, you know, wouldn't have a setback per se with the things that they were doing. I had to keep pushing them forward. So I couldn't really focus on him not helping me because I had to keep my focus on the boys and the things that they needed and the things that they needed to do to move forward. And I had support from my family members, from, you know, from you, my sister, from, you know, Teresa, our oldest sister, you know, and just from other family members in general. So it's not like I was totally left by myself, but to have the person with him being their father, I think that he should have been there a lot more than he was. God rest his soul. But I just felt like he should have stepped up more. So, you know, I dealt with that in my own private time, which is what I do when I have any kind of emotions. I deal with it privately when I'm by myself. So none of that was ever dealt with them in my presence. You know, all they know, I was always happy. I was always handling my business and doing everything that I needed to do to make sure that they got what they needed and got where they needed to go and things of that nature. So, you know.
Yeah, I think our family has that lineage of strong matriarch at the head of the family. We, you know, mom was that way. I didn't know my grandmother, but I'm sure she inherited that from her mom. And you and I have inherited that from our mom, and so that legacy continues. Some other tragedy happened, and you alluded to it just a second ago when you said God rest his soul, and that is the fact that the father of your children passed away recently. And tell us about that and how that impacted their life and how that impacted you yet again in terms of being a parent and being their source of support. When did he pass?
He passed August 9th, 2009. So just a little over a year ago. His anniversary just passed, actually. Well, when he passed, you know, they say people know when they're about to pass. And I mentioned that because he passed in August, and I would say around May or June, he really started to, we actually started to communicate more with each other because I was at a point where, you know, the kids are older, they have phones, you all can communicate. I really don't need to be in the picture. You know, you all communicate with each other, it's fine. But we began to communicate more, get along a lot better than we were. Not that we were at each other's throat, but, you know, there were things that he did that I didn't like, things of that nature. But, excuse me, we started communicating more. He started seeing the children more. And I actually took him off of child support because I did have him on child support, you know, when my first son was born. So in all these years, and these 17 years, he had been on child support, and we finally got to the point where we were communicating, and he stepped up to the plate, and he started to really do what he needed to do with his children. So we had a conversation. I took him off child support. They spent time together, spent the night over there, you know, sometimes weeks at a time during the summer if they weren't in school. And he would come over more, and they were just, you know, communicating a lot more than they used to. And shortly after that, in August 9th, he passed of heart failure. So, and that was the beginning of my, and then he actually passed the day before the children started school. So
Wow. That
was, you know, that was kind of hard for me because I knew it was hard on my children. I knew that they were trying to build a bond, a better bond with their father. And then all of a sudden, you know, he's gone. And it was the start of Dominique's senior year, and they had been talking all summer about, you know, what was going to happen during prom, you know, for graduation, you know, just a lot of activities within the school and how he was going to help make his senior year memorable. So when he passed, you know, I said, wow, you know, is this really happening? So,
right.
it was hard for me because it really, really was hard on the children. And here again, I worried about, okay, this is the day before school starts, you know, what's going to happen during the school year? Are they going to have a setback? Are they going to still be able to focus and you know, do all great things? Because they've always made good grades. So I was really concerned about that. Are they going to need counseling or, you know, do I have to stroke their egos? What do I need to do? But just like I took from my mom, they're taking from me. They're just like, they're moving right along. They grieved and they, you know, did what they needed to do, but it's like they didn't miss a beat when it came to school and when it came to sports and when it came to, you know, still being the boys that they were, they didn't skip a beat. And I was very proud of that because I was to the point where I felt like maybe they would need counseling because of that.
Because
to lose somebody so sudden, you know, that's a very big tragedy.
Yeah,
so,
definitely. So you mentioned that, you know, people, they say people know when they're going to pass, and I can bear witness to that in terms of when I lost my previous husband, Yusuf, definitely there were some distinct things that happened before he passed. And, you know, I think this is the mercy of the Creator, that he touches people in a way to help them to settle things, to help them to have a peaceful journey on the other side, a more peaceful journey on the other side when it's their turn, that we are souls on this journey. So our soul is constantly in communication with the Creator of that soul. And I believe that God is always, you know, cultivating us and fashioning us and helping us and guiding us on this journey throughout life. This show is called Always Ascending because of that very reason, that everything that happens to us, the joys and the challenges, help us to grow. It's in some way designed specifically for us. And when people are about to pass, you see them do things differently. And so that's a mercy, I think. We have a caller on the line. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take a break for a minute, Candace, and come back and talk some more about your journey and one very important and another important way that you're making a difference in the lives of your family and your community. So just stay on the line, Candace. And everyone, thank you for listening to Always Ascending. The number to call is 917-889-3669. When we come back, we'll see who this caller is on the other line and take your comment or question. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey, how you doing, everybody? I'm Brian McKnight for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Give your keys to a friend, because friends don't let friends drive drunk.
You're like a dream come true. Just wanna be with you. Cause it's plain true.
Public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Over there's the water. Whoosh, whoosh. And look at all this stuff I'm standing on. It's called sand, and it's everywhere.
This woman may sound silly to you and me.
It's made up of little tiny pieces of rocks. Teeny little pieces of rocks.
But to her 2-year-old son exploring the world around him, she makes perfect sense.
How does it feel when you touch the sand? Is it warm?
Uh-huh.
It's hard to hold in your hand, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Learning starts long before school does, and children are naturally curious. They want to learn. So follow their lead. Take simple, everyday moments, like sorting laundry or playing on the beach, and turn them into learning moments.
Is this water?
No.
Very good. This is sand. Oh, no, it's not food. It's sand. We don't eat sand.
Turn everyday moments into learning moments. Find out how at pornlearning.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Welcome back, everyone, to Always Ascending. I'm talking with my younger sister, Candace Tiamoyo Nilbynum. We're talking about her journey, some of the milestones in her life. And now we're going to, we've learned about her having to raise her boys pretty much as a single parent with great support from our mother who passed, God rest her soul, in 2000. And then the passing of the father of her children 1 year ago. And these, as you can understand and as we've heard, definitely are milestones, those things that just happen in your life that makes you grow. They say what doesn't break you makes you stronger. And we are going to learn yet another way in which Candace has been maintaining the strength and courage to stay in life in a way where she's determined to succeed as a person, as a parent, as a child of God, as someone who wants to become fully self-actualized. Candace, and we did have a caller on the line, but they hung up, so we'll just wait for them to call back. The number again to call is area code 917-889-3669. That's 917-889-3669. If you have a comment or a question, we welcome you to call in. So the boy's father died. Let's talk a little bit about the boys. I'm very proud of them. They have always done very well in school. And let's talk a little bit about that in terms of, did you see, were there any, what were their challenges in, with their schoolwork or with their involvement in extracurricular activities when these milestones happened in their lives? Because these were not only milestones in your life, obviously they were milestones in their lives as well. How did it impact them that you, you know, what are some of the things that you noticed that I know you said they sort of didn't skip a beat, but if they did skip a beat, how did it manifest itself?
Well, I really can't say that that they showed any kind of change or showed that it really impacted them as far as just going on day to day or in school when these things took place, when their grandmother passed or when their father passed. I think with them also that they may have dealt with it in private, but it never affected their schoolwork, their behavior. They didn't withdraw. They still communicated. They still joked around the house. They still did everything normal. I didn't see anything change. And to me, that was strange. To me, it was like, okay, well, maybe they need counseling. Maybe they're suppressing it. Maybe they need to express what they're feeling, but they don't want to. Maybe they're holding it in, and I want them to express it you know, so I was kind of saying, well, it's good they're not skipping a beat, but shouldn't they skip a beat? I mean, they are young, and they did just lose their father. So, but, you know, as of right now, they haven't shown anything. They haven't. They talk about it. They cried about it. They, you know, say different things about their father, but as far as me having to sit down and have long talks with them about, you know, you still have to do your work, you still have to go to school, I've never had to have this conversation. Like I said, it was the day before they started school, and I'm thinking, okay, they're not going to want to go to school. But they were saying, Mom, no, we're going to go to school. We're okay. We're going to school. We're fine. So, you know, it really shocked me. So, like I said, they're strong, and you know, I think this is just something that is passed on from generation to generation. Yeah. How strong you are, and how you can deal with certain things. You know, they never missed a beat. They never, you know, they didn't show any bad signs of them having that tremendous loss. So it was a good thing to me.
Good. And I want to acknowledge you for, and you should acknowledge yourself for the role that you played in that you passed on their strength, and you're a very open person, and I know they're very comfortable talking with you, and you were there to support them throughout that process, and that made a difference for them. I mean, so we thank God for you, for who you have been in their lives as their mother, to make sure that they had the support they need, that they could talk whenever they needed to talk about whatever they needed to talk about. And I think because you had them young, there's this relatability. Like they relate to you in a way that it's very clear, Mama don't play, and at the same time, you can talk to Mom. And so you've cultivated that relationship in them, and I just acknowledge you for that. And I pray that that you will reap many rewards for the work that you've done as a single parent, as a mother, and as a friend to your children. And there's something else that you've done that's quite remarkable, and I want us to talk about that now. Tell us what that thing is, and you know what I'm talking about. Tell the listening audience what else you've done in terms of making a difference and looking outside of yourself to make a difference in someone else's life.
A couple of years ago, my oldest son's best friend needed somewhere to stay. His family was going through some hardships, and basically, they had gotten put out of their home, and his mom made the decision that she was leaving town. And it was the end of his sophomore year, and he said, Mom, I want to stay here. I want to finish out my school year, and then I'll come to Florida where you are. But can I please just, you know, stay here? And he came and told me. They talked to me about it, and then I spoke with his mom. And me knowing that he is a good kid, I've never had any problems out of him. Like I said, they were best friends already. I've never heard any bad things about him. I knew he was a good kid. I knew he was into sports. So in my mind, it was a perfect match for Dominique to have a companion, although he already had a brother, but they're like on two opposite ends of the stick. So I thought that was perfect. I knew he wasn't a troubled child, but his family was just going through some hardships that I really felt in my heart that no child should go through, no matter the age, no matter the race, no matter the time, whatever. I just feel like kids shouldn't have to go through things like that. So you know, without any questions, I welcomed him into my home. And he's been here since. He's been here for the past couple of years with us. And they're like twins. Actually, when we go out, they think that they are twins. They do everything together. They're on the same basketball team. They go places together. They just do everything. And I haven't had any problems out of him. No issues. Just, you know, I just have to set down the rules that, you know, I am a cool mom, but first and foremost, I am a parent. And then I'm your friend. We can talk about anything. You know, we have a good time when we can. You know, I'm not, you know, living in a big house on a hill, but I can provide you with a stable home and some food and some clothes, transportation. I have all of that for you. We don't have a lot of money, but, you know, we will stick this out together. So it was without question that he could come stay here. So Petres has been here now, like I said, for the past couple of years. And he's a wonderful addition to the family. You know, he doesn't give me any problems. So we are proud to have him here because he, you know, fits right in. He makes us laugh and makes us cry sometimes. But he's a really good kid. And I'm so glad that we were able to assist him and his family in, you know, making that transition in their lives.
And his family eventually moved back to Georgia, to Atlanta, yet he opted to still stay with you. Is that correct?
Yes, he did.
So tell us a little bit about that. That really speaks volumes in terms of what he found in staying with you all. Can you give us some insight on that? And by the way, we invited Dominique and Petres to be on the call, and we were hoping they were going to call in. Maybe we'll have them on at a later show. So what was that? Give us some insight into why he chose to continue staying with you all after his mom moved back.
Okay. Well, Dominique, he was going to join us on the show, but he has an early class in the morning. He just started college. So he has an early class, and he said he had to do some work and go to bed. So hopefully he can join us. But Petres may still chime in. Shortly after he came to stay with us, his mom did leave, and she did go to Florida. But about a week or two after she moved, her grandchild actually was murdered. Her 18-month-old grandchild was murdered, and she ended up having to move back to Atlanta to, of course, take care of arrangements and things of that nature. And that's another thing that we had to experience, another loss with Petres being a new member of the family. We had to embrace him and support him through that time of need, him losing his niece so tragically. And with all of that, I think going through that and us showing our support to him and his family, I'm sure with anybody it would just say, you know, wow, that's wonderful. They're such good people. You know, they step right in and help out and do things. But that comes natural for me. Although I'm very upfront, I'm very outspoken, and I'll, you know, will say it like it is. But I'm very open-hearted. I'm very loving and caring, and I just don't like to see anybody going through any kind of trials and hardships. I try to help out as much as I can. And his mother stayed here, and she's been here since. But he enjoys being here so much. And like I said, we don't have a lot to offer. We live check to check, but just having that family time and having a good time and being able to do things and just having that abundance of support here, he that I want to stay here. You know, I want to be here. I enjoy being here. But he does frequently visit his mom, and sometimes he stays over there for the weekend. But he's like, this is my home. I want to be here. I like being here.
Mm-hmm. And so he came to be with you when he was in the 10th grade?
Correct.
Right?
The end of his 10th
and
grade.
And so now, okay. And we have about 15 minutes left for the program. So tell us a little bit about how the boys are doing now. And then just briefly, because I want to talk a little bit more about your journey, because I know that you are still continuing to grow on your journey of self-actualization. I know we're very proud of Dominique because he is now, as you said, he's in college now. This is his first year in college at Georgia State University.
Yes.
He graduated from high school with honors.
Yes.
And so, and Petrez, tell us about Petrez. He's struggling somewhat with finishing his graduate's test to finish high school. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right. He's having some challenges with the graduation test. He actually took the test maybe the beginning of the summer. He passed his math portion, but he didn't pass his other two subjects. So we're currently getting some tutors for him for that. And in the meantime, we're beginning to enroll him into Atlanta Metro College to get him started with some college courses until he can get past that hurdle.
Okay, good. And let's talk a little bit about Chris.
Chris, yes, that's my special child.
He's your youngest. He's my youngest nephew. He's what year is he in high school now?
He's in the 10th grade. He's a sophomore.
He's a sophomore, and he's also an honor student, right?
Yes, he is. He ranks 36 out of 300 and some odd students of his class. So he has a few more steps to go, but he's up there.
Wow. Yeah, that's great. Okay, we didn't spend a lot of time on Chris, but maybe at another show we will. But the essence of what we wanted to talk about today was really building up to your milestones and how you've contributed to the life of other people in our family and in the community by being a single parent, by helping to parent someone else's child and bringing Petrez into the home and being a surrogate mother for him. And meanwhile, your own journey and your own development as a person continues to unfold. Throughout life, we have epiphanies. We have these awarenesses and we have these moments that we feel we have to step up to the plate. And you've already indicated, you know, when mom died, you realized that, well, actually, when you became a young mother at the age of 15, 16, you had to step up to the plate. When mom died, you had to step up to the plate. When the boys' fathers died, you had to step up to the plate. And now I sense that you are still ascending, and it's really a beautiful journey. Tell us, you know, what's going on with your life now, and what is your focus in life now?
Well, right now my focus in life is I had to sit down with myself and conversate with myself and tell myself that things I, within myself, needed to make a lot of changes. Yes, I am a good person, but there are a lot of things I can't improve on. So I made a commitment to myself to improve a lot of things, a lot of areas in my life, make a lot of improvements. And one thing that I did just last Sunday, I joined church. So, and I've been going to this church for maybe a couple of months. And the bishop, he's a very good teacher. He has taught me a lot of things. I jot down notes. I go back and read them. I analyze on them. I meditate on them. And I made a decision, again, that I needed to make a commitment. You know, I have been this person to always help people, always be there for people. But it's time for me to get some self-healing. It's time for me to heal myself. It's time for me to improve myself so that I can be an even better person for my family, for my children. I'm at that point now in my life that I am trying to make my own transition and turn my life around per se. Not that I'm living a bad life, but it can be better. Now I'm taking steps to better myself in all aspects, you know, that's needed. So that's my goal right now. That's what I'm working on at this point. I'm working on bettering myself and still
I think
taking care of the children.
That's great. I think it's important to sort of give a backdrop to our upbringing in terms of our relationship with God and our relationship, our understanding of religion and that sort of thing. I always say that I wasn't raised in a religious family, and I never saw my parents go to church, but they always put me in activities in the church.
In the church.
I was in the Girl Scouts. Yes, they sent me down the street to go to Girl Scout, you know, go to the festivals at the church and I was in pageants that took place at the church. So I had exposure to the church, yet I didn't really have a cultivated relationship and understanding with God. So as an adult, like you, as an adult, once I became of age and I realized that part of my success in life had everything to do with being connected to the one who gave me life. And I decided I had to cultivate a stronger relationship with God. Ultimately, after searching and reading and investigating and researching, I became a Muslim. And that has made a significant difference in my life. And so we both have that background, that context where we didn't really have a religious upbringing per se. But we had that exposure. Our mom would listen to gospel music on Sundays, and she would listen to music in the morning. And so we had that exposure, but in terms of the sit-down discipline and let's talk about God and let's talk about, you know, life as it relates to God, we didn't have that. I think it makes it even more meaningful when we embrace a relationship with God on our own.
Correct.
When we recognize that we have to cultivate that source and connect to that source in order for us to keep ascending in life. And oftentimes when people are raised in religious families, they rebel against that, and sometimes it becomes the strongest foundation in their life as well, and they go on to become, you know, adults who have that foundation that helps to stabilize them as they, you know, build their own family. So I just think it's important to acknowledge the context that we've chosen to cultivate a relationship with the Creator, even though we didn't have the foundation, solid foundation of religion, if you will, quote unquote religion or spiritual growth in our family. So I want to acknowledge you for seeing the importance of cultivating that relationship with the Creator as a means to you having a better life and improving yourself and growing and becoming fully self-actualized. The moment you make that decision, it just changes you. And as I mentioned to you,
in one of our Facebook chats, it's a journey that's just beginning. We are promised that we will be tested in life, and you know, even before we make our commitment to God, we realize we have already faced tests, as you've already, if we've talked about already. You know, when you lose someone you love, you and I both can testify to that. We both lost mom, and then I lost my husband. You lost the father of your children, and just these are all tests for us. And as I said earlier, what doesn't break us makes us stronger. So it's wonderful. So what are some of the things, other goals that you've set for yourself in terms of what are some of the things that you want to achieve in life?
And my focus is always on my children. My ultimate goals are always to make sure that I properly provide for my children and get them through life as far as I can, like graduating from school and getting into college, and just making sure that they grow up to be the men that they should be, respectful, you know, smart, intelligent men, and just do the right thing to walk on the right path. Because, you know, we mm-hmm. see stuff on the news every day or even right in front of our faces where, you know, kids can you know, do a 360 in a minute and go down the wrong path, mm-hmm. you know, from peer pressure or whatever it is. So my ultimate goal is always to make sure that my kids stay on the right path. If they are ever faced with any kind of challenges, I want to face it together and not mm-hmm. just have them out there by themselves. That's something that I want to face together. And then again, my next goal is to do better with myself, do better with my living, the way that I live, the things that I do, the way that people perceive me, how they see me, because I always want to not per se be seen as the good girl, but just the open-hearted person, the caring person, the, you know, somebody that you don't have to be afraid to come to. You can always come to me. You can always speak with me about anything. So my goals right now, and I have to do right now goals, because for me it's taking it one day at a time.
Absolutely.
You know, just from where I'm coming from, for me it's like I have to take baby steps. I have to, you know, say, well, my goal for right now is just making it through the week and accomplishing X, Y, Z. So right mm-hmm. now, I'm just, you know, ultimately, I just want to become a better person mm-hmm. and come closer to knowing my Lord and doing things, you know, good in His eyes. It's just,
that's
just
right.
being better overall.
Yeah, I think that's key. Because no matter what others think of us, what's most important is what our Creator thinks of us. Because ultimately, it is our Creator that we have to answer to. And I think when we live lives that are in guideline with the guidelines that the Creator has set for us in His scriptures, that we are guaranteed success, I believe, if we truly believe and if we truly follow the tenet that we are rewarded for the good things that we do in obedience to our Creator. Ken, as we have less than 60 seconds left on the show, I want to tell you that I'm very proud of you. I love you. You are an inspiration for me, and I pray that I can be an inspiration for you and the boys. I pray for our family, and I'm glad that we're here for each other, and I want to thank you for coming on the show. I love you, and we'll talk to you again soon. And
okay,
do you want to say anything
so
in closing?
Much. thank you so much for your support, and I am so very proud of you and the things that you are doing, and I look forward to being on the show again. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome, sweetie. Bye-bye. Love you, and give everyone
Bye-bye.
My regards.
Okay,
Bye.
Thank you. Love you, too. Bye-bye.
Always Ascending inspires listeners to live life consciously and intentionally by reaching, growing, learning, climbing, becoming, and achieving all that they are capable of. Always Ascending inspires us all to see our life's experiences, the joys and the challenges, as part of our ascension to becoming better human beings. Always Ascending is about purifying and celebrating our life's journeys and our life's experiences.